Pergamos, you know, if you look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 12 through 17, you know, and you read that, and that's why we've been trying to give it to you soon enough so you could read it. You know, sometimes we don't have the time. But here, it started in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 12, and to the angel of the church in Pergamos, and to the pastor. Write these things, said he, which hath the sharp sword with two edges. He said, I know thy works, where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. So he sort of lifted him up, lifted the church up, and brought down what was wrong with the church. And in verse 14, he said, but I have a few things against thee. See, it is very important, as we are members of Amron Road Baptist Church, we are sort of blinded to some things that we do, and everybody accepts it and, you know, it's part of it, and, you know, but when you scrape away all the tradition and get into the Word of God, as he said, I know thy works, where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and has not denied my faith. But he said here in verse 14, he said, but I have a few things against thee, because thou has there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. And so, what I've seen, especially in the last 10 years, when there is fornication going on in the church, if that's the daughter or son of a particular popular family, for lack of better terminology, nobody wants to talk about it. And so that little thing goes on in the church, and, you know, if I bring it up or somebody else bring it up, we think the people will leave. Well, if that's happening, not that particular sin, but any open sin, that we just say, well, we're small, and if I bring this up, I may lose a family. I may lose a couple or three families. So the flesh takes over. So what Jesus does and what the Spirit of God does, he brags on it, just like he did in verse 12 and 13. But he said, I have a few things against thee. You know, God doesn't look at me and say, well, he's a pastor, he can sin more. No, I believe the pastor does sin less. I believe a good church member got to sin less than any family member. You got a sister, a brother, a cousin, an uncle, an aunt, you know, and we say, well, they're lost. Do you realize that if you got a lost kinfolk and you say, well, there's this lost, I've tried to talk to him. But the more that lost individual sins and the deeper their debt, the hotter their place in hell is going to be. So we look at this situation. And we see, you know, in verse 15, he said, so hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. You know, which thing I hate. Simple said, without going into a lot of scripture and background. Whatever God hates, I should hate. So when a person tells me, I want you to hear that, and those on Facebook listening, I want you to hear this. You know, I was told last week, I need to love the homosexual, but not love his sin. Then I asked that person, what did God do? How did God handle them? Did he not destroy them? Now, I'm not saying we are to, but I'm telling you, your spiritual life is a little damp when your best friend is living in open sin. Talk to me now. That's the facts. What in the world have I got to fellowship with an alcoholic? What do I have to fellowship with my best friend who's unfaithful to his wife? But yet, when you go to a funeral, you know, like the one they had in Lawrenceburg, you know, 7 or 8 people spoke. Well, he's really popular, and he was a good man. But don't wait till I die and then tell everybody how good I was. You know, well, we ought to be telling everybody how good Jesus is now. I mean, that's exactly what we ought to do. So the definition of the word Pergamos means married. Description describes the marriage of the church to the world under Emperor Constantine, who joined the church and stayed in an unholy union. The Christmas celebration that the world has now came from that right there. Well, somebody says, Pastor, I don't celebrate Christmas that way. I don't celebrate Easter that way. I'm not saying you would or did. I'm just saying that the devil wants to look at sin as something, you know, everybody does, but not everybody can handle it. Well, the doctrines of the Balaam is the teaching that Christians are at liberty to indulge in sin. I know some independent Bible-believing missionary Baptist church. I've never seen them drunk. But they drink as a way of life. Nobody doesn't say anything because the Bible says drunkards shall not enter the kingdom of God. I'm just an old country boy. How much beer do I have to drink before I'm a drunk to the world? Deeds of the Nicolaitans in verse 6, you know, has progressed to a doctrine in verse 15, which the Nicolaitans mean to conquer the people. And L.H. Rozier has said, let us beware of the favors of the world even more than of his threats. Some of the churches that some of my family, some of my best friends go, you know. They do everything that the world does. They just do it in moderation. So just watching that, listen to them talk, that they are teaching as long as you don't, like, if you, you can smoke dope, just don't smoke enough to get high. You can drink, but don't drink enough to get drunk. I mean, as long as you do everything in moderation. Now, every one of y'all may believe that. Your pastor don't. I believe that anything that God is against, I should be against. Have I always done that? No. Why? Because this flesh is my number one problem. And when I preach something, I preach to myself. So we need to understand that. Now, in Roman numeral 4, in Revelation 2, 18 through 29, the Thyatira, the Lentus Church. Definition, the word Thyatira means continual sacrifice. I believe that description describes the Roman Catholic Church with its adulterous sacrifice of the Mass. This church is noted for its immorality. Oh, Jezebel. Immoral perversion has dominated the Catholic Church since its inception. I'm sure there are Catholics that don't drink, don't cuss, don't do all of anything, as there are Baptists. But very few Catholics that I know, they have no problem drinking, as long as they don't get drunk. Now, maybe I've just had a bad time, and that's the only ones I've seen. But I tell you, if you think that you can get forgiven by going into a booth and talking to another man, you ain't got a prayer of getting the glory. And if my buddy is listening tonight, he knows how long it takes me to get home, and he'll call me. I don't do that to get him aroused. If you know something is wrong, if it's wrong for a Baptist to cuss, it's wrong for a Methodist to cuss. So we need to understand that. The description describes the Roman Catholic Church, which is a idolatrous sacrifice of the Mass. I mean, you just stop and think about it. Where in the Bible does it say that I'd rather go confess to a man? I mean, what man except Jesus Christ can forgive me of my sins? There is none. Describes the Roman Catholic Church with its adulterous sacrifice of the Mass. The church is noted for its immorality, is noted for Jezebel. Immorality, perversion has dominated the Catholic Church since it was inception. Now it's coming out. The priest after priest has molested little boys. On page 4, Phillips, he writes, corruption and wickedness in the professing church rose to such heights that the infidel historian Gibbon could write, the history of the church is the annals of hell. The church became the home of heathen. Has no spirituality, just all going through rituals. And we do that sometimes. You know, I hope no Baptist has ever done it. But, you know, we do certain things because we've been taught that's what Christians do. Are we doing it out of tradition? Are we doing it because we love the Lord? Well, during this era, the second event message was revived, and the Moravian brethren were protected from persecution by the Count Sinodorf, and I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, but send missionaries out to the heathen. Surely a good Baptist know who John Wesley was. John Wesley was a convert. He converted, and the Methodist Church was started. If you do your church history, almost all of these Protestant churches, all of them came out of the Catholic Church. And the head of those churches were all Catholics, or the biggest part of them was. So, I mean, God used that. You know, if there's nothing going on right, God will raise up a man or somebody in that church that said, we can't do that no more. That's what happened to the Baptists. I mean, when I was growing up, I went to some Southern Baptist churches. And I'm not as hard on that as a lot of preachers are in my reign that I, you know. But it's hard to find a Southern Baptist that is sound in every aspect of a Baptist teaching, you know. So we see that General Booth started the Salvation Army. You know, my wife, when she was growing up, wouldn't have had clothes if it wasn't from the Salvation Army. Her mother couldn't feed two girls and a boy by being a waitress. Salvation Army fronted them with clothes, with food. On Christmas, they would bring them a toy. The first bicycle they had was from the Salvation Army. So, the Salvation Army, I'm not against. I'm not against anybody that does good. But you can't mix Christianity and worldliness under the same roof. That's where missions come in. It is a mission work. And, you know, I'm not saying that's the worst thing anybody can do. Is it perfect? No. It isn't perfect. I think all the help that is out there now is the reason so many people are too hungry to work and don't work. I mean, that's my opinion. Why should you work for minimum wage when if you know who to go to, you can get more by not doing nothing. And especially men, if they go for months without working, they become allergic to it. Seems like. I mean, I'm old-fashioned. I believe if a man is physically able, God expects him to support that family. If he can't and the wife is able, she should help. But then we, as said, General Booth started the Salvation Army and the Baptists and brethren flourished. Faith mission spread the gospel all over the globe. You ought to know some of these names. Hudson Taylor had 1,500 missionaries in China alone. William Carvey, C.T. Studd, Justin Bummer. We just go over the name after name after name. God used them to get the Baptist message all over. You know, when we look at Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10, Revelation 3:10 said what? He said, because thou hast kept the word of thy patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of corruption, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. You may not believe this, and it's a person's opinion. I believe this: the weather that happened last night, happened last year, which tore up parts and parts of the country, I think it's going to be more often. Because God teaches that. You know, it indicates that the Philadelphian churches will exist at the darkest hour at the end of the church age. And the Gelabellin said, Philadelphia is not a definite church period, but rather a description of a royal remnant called out in the Spirit of God and bearing the final testimony of the whole counsel of God. Then we have the Laodicea. That's the lukewarm church. The word Laodicea means people rule. Who do you think run the average church? The people or God? You know, really, the way I feel, that was a silly question. God has not only been put on the outside of our life, our home, our country. We're all familiar when we have a kid that's brought up that gets everything he wants. And we call that a spoiled brat. You know what's wrong with this generation? They have got about anything they want. And people are driving new cars, living in new houses, wearing new clothes. Don't have enough cash to take the whole family out to Cracker Barrel. Because money rules. But Laodicea, the lukewarm church. Anytime you see talking about the lukewarm church or the condition of a church, that's a church that God, he gets sick thinking about it. Let's look at Revelation chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things said the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. God said, I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. If you're not cold, because if you're cold and you're saved, God's going to whip your butt and bring you back. And if you're hot, you're going to be serving God. But the average church member in the United States is lukewarm. Or at least that's what this church represents. These things said the Amen, the faithful and the true, beginning of the creation of God. In verse 15, he said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. What do you think we ought to do? Think we ought to have a revival? Whatever you think. My former pastor asked that question one night. Most of the church said, he said, well, until y'all repent of your sin and make things right with God, we need to get our salvation straight first. First time I ever heard a quiet spoken man say anything like that. But the church changed in the next couple, 3 weeks. Because God said, unto the angel, or unto the pastor, of Laodicea, these things said the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning and the creation of God. I know thy works, but to put it the way it is, y'all indifferent. You want to have revival? Hey, that's cruel. You don't want to have revival? That's cruel also. Think we ought to improve our what God's given us? It's all right with me, but yeah, if that's what you think. You know, I mean, see, it's not just one thing. It covers a whole bunch. He said, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, he said, I will spew thee out of my mouth. He said, I'll just vomit you up. You're useless. Because thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I don't play the lottery. I don't know what anybody else does. That's your business. But the winner of the night is going to be $1 billion or something, you know. I just give every one of y'all $1 million and a brand new car. But I can't play a little game. Being as strong as I am on certain things. Now see, he said down here, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, what that church does, well, I wouldn't do it, Henrietta, but if you feel all right doing it, bless you. That's why you have churches where there's drunks, alcohol, drug addicts, prostitutes, they're all members of the church. And everybody, well, I don't judge. God told me not to judge anybody. Did he? But God said, because thou sayest, I am rich and indeed with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold, cried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye save, that thou mayest see. I believe you take 18, study it real deep. You get the Holy Spirit died in you instead of that little brain up there between the 2 years, and it'll be a whole lot of difference in your life. He said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. You know what that verse teaches? The church may know nothing about what you're doing. Your husband may not know nothing. Your wife may not know nothing. Your parents may not know nothing. But God does. So he said in verse 19, he said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. How many did y'all get that little thing I sent to you on Facebook with that little black girl preaching? The average church is an embarrassment to God. I agreed with her. That was all stage that was written. But, I mean, as Dad used to say, truth is truth. If it comes from the mouth of a liar, it's still truth. And I'm telling you, the average Christian in this country is an embarrassment to God. He said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, will sup with him, and he with me. See, no matter what condition I'm in right now, I can change that by asking God to grant me repentance. I've got a drinking problem, God can take it away from me. I've got a gambling problem, God can take it away from me. He may use the 12 steps. He may use anything. But let me tell you how I feel. I believe whatever man uses, it doesn't work unless God blesses it. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man cometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in the throne. He that hath a ear, I'm not talking about this year, you're saved and you're able to hear spiritual truth. God said, he that hath a ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. See, the summary is, you know, what kind of church are we seeking to be? You know, that's the question I think that we need to ask ourselves. You know, and I don't say this to brag on you or to brag on myself. I think this small body has been a lot closer to the Word of God than many that call themselves independent Baptists. And that couldn't be if I didn't have at least a few that wanted the truth. You know. And I will have the lessons, Lord willing, I will have the lessons printed out and for you Sunday. I won't be here next week, but we go into the seven churches one by one, and I would like to get all seven lessons printed and bind it up for you. But that's where we are. I can't speak for nobody else, but I've studied Revelation.